This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
Okay, so Ronaldo Ladaga is going to present a short paper next. And Ronaldo received his PhD from New York University in 1999. He's an assistant professor of Romance languages here at the University of Pennsylvania. And he specializes in, among other things, contemporary Latin American literature and critical theory, and from what I gather, most recently, music, electronic and experimental. He's the author of a number of books that study the links between literature and ethics in the works of writers such as Fernandez, Virgilio Piñera, and Juan Rodolfo Wilcock. He's also written a novel, numerous articles on literature, art, and film, and he's currently, likewise, working on a book on recent Latin American literature and art. Okay.
Thank you. I'm not really going to read the paper. I'm just I just wanted to say a couple of things just in order to open the dialogue and the discussion that we are going to have today. I think that being an Argentine to Osvaldo, it makes sense that I gave an idea of what I think that is a context, an Argentine context of the work of Osvaldo. I think that some of the things that I wanted to mention he already mentioned right now talking when he was talking about it. First thing, who are the writers and artists that I see Osvaldo together with? I would say that a few people that happen to be part of the of what a little bit melodramatically we could call the Argentinian diaspora that were born between 1920 and 1945. I would say the most important names I would say are one composer, Mauricio Kagel, and I don't know if Osvaldo remembers him. Mauricio Kagel was born in Argentina. He left. He was already a composer in Argentina. He left in the 60s in the 50s, I guess, to Europe, and participated in the avant-garde, in the musical avant-garde in Germany, especially. He is today the part of the Köln Academy of Arts. Unfortunately, I don't have time here to detail a little bit what his work is about. I think also in a writer who is not particularly well known, Juan Rodolfo Wilcock. He was part of the group of the magazine Sur, whose dominant figure was of course Jorge Luis Borges. It was he also lived in Argentina and wrote in Argentina until he was in his 30s. He emigrated to Italy and began to write in Italian, where he published in this language. He published probably his most interesting work in the end of the 60s and beginning of the 70s. Copy Raúl Damonte, a comics author and playwright who was also Argentinian, but lived and wrote most of his work in French in Paris in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. He was the author of a comic that Jean-Michel probably will remember, La Femme the Seat Woman. These three names are particularly important. Maybe an artist that I mentioned, Osvaldo, a little while ago when we were talking before this, Alberto Greco, who also produced part of his most interesting work in Europe in the 60s and the 70s. What do these people have in common with Osvaldo? It's interesting that Aaron mentioned conceptualism, and it's true that in international criticism, Osvaldo is associated with conceptual arts. He's still associated with conceptual art, right? Probably because of his more analytic work of the 70s, I guess. And I find interesting that the relationship between Osvaldo and people like Josep Kossuth, who he mentions. I think that it's interesting that Osvaldo has been painting all of this time, right? And that there's a constant exposure in his work of painting, of the task of painting, of the work of the artist as work, as labor, I would say, right? In Osvaldo's work, I find a tendency to expose the labor that is involved in producing what it's being produced, which is a type of self-referentiality that I would say that is not really the same that you find in American conceptual art or in certain European art of the time, and there's a tendency to expose the work that is put in producing a certain work at the time that this work fails, I would say. I think that Osvaldo's work exposes constantly, it exposes itself constantly as a failed work, or exposes something in the work that fails, right? So and something that failing breaks the potential consistency of the image, and the work fails in the case of Osvaldo because there's work involved, because there's labor involved, and because labor is constantly exposed to fatigue, let's say, right? The same way as intelligence is constantly exposed to idiocy, and I think that this is something that it appears constantly in Osvaldo's work, right? The idiocy American conceptual work tends to be intelligent, let's say, right? In the sense of being able to reflect its own conditions of production, while in Osvaldo's work there's a constant play with idiocy, I would say, right? With the idiocy as a point of breaking of intelligence, right? It's I find interesting that in the opera that we have just scenes, there are these scenes of failure, right? And this final breaking up of this main character, because both in the level, both idiocy in the level of intelligence and fatigue, for example, in the level of labor, have to do with something that we can call entropy, and I would say that Osvaldo's work is entropic. It's really entropic. It tends to dissipate, right? That is something that Osvaldo's work has in common with all of these other Argentinian diasporic, let's say, to use the melodramatic word, artists and writers that I just mentioned, right? A play with idiocy, a play with fatigue, in general, a play with failure, right? Which is not necessarily cynic, let's say, right? What it is, and I think that what it happens constantly in Osvaldo's work, and also in these other works that I've been talking about. We are going to see more images by Osvaldo, but I want just to describe very briefly an image by this other artist that I just mentioned, Alberto Greco. He, in the 60s, I guess, made a series of photographs that was his take on conceptual art, I would say. He photographed himself pointing to, for example, a woman in the street in a small town in Spain as a work of art, right? Like this is the work of art. But he was inside the painting, right? He was inside the photograph. It was called Vivo Ditto. He was inside the photograph, dressed in a slightly pathetic way, and the whole image is quite pathetic, right? Which is interesting. It's not the type of gesture that somebody like, for example, Arthur Danto would celebrate, right? It's a sort of comedy of conceptual art, and I think that the big part of Osvaldo's work is conceptual art as comedy, let's say as slapstick comedy. Even in this case, it's very clear, but I think that it has been there from the beginning of his work, right? Pathetic, I said in terms of Greco. The play with pathetism is constant also in the case of Osvaldo. I would say that this group of Argentinian writers and artists and musicians are more prone to a poetics of the sublime or the beautiful or the uncanny or whatever, towards a poetic of the pathetic. I think that's the reason why it's particularly difficult to put them in the categories that are more common in European, that have been elaborated taking into account mostly the European and American traditions of modern art, right? Where does this come from? That's a question that is bigger than what I can attempt to answer right now. Part of it, I think, that is Borges. That is Jorge Luis Borges. Jorge, in a small country as Argentina, a big talent like Borges is bigger than it would be in other contexts, and it was dominant really in the Argentinian scene during the years when Osvaldo was forming himself. It's hard to think it's probably hard for you to think in Borges as having anything to do with the pathetic, but actually, for an Argentinian, Borges is not only the text, and it's not only the text that have been translated into English of Borges, but it's also his public persona. As a public persona, he was constantly mocking himself. He's probably more interested as a public persona than one would think just reading the text, especially the text that have been translated, right? He has this way of presenting himself as pathetic, essentially, right? As a pathetic person. And when I say the text that have been translated and published, we have to say it also that the image of Borges that Americans, but also I think mostly Europeans have, it's really partial. Let's take the case of one of Borges' most important and better known texts, Pierre Ménard, author of El Quijote. You probably remember the text. Is this symbolist French writer who rewrites El Quijote line by line. It's a text that has been widely quoted, and especially in the context of conceptual art criticism, let's say, in terms of the paradoxes of the authentic and the fake, which I agree with Osvaldo. I think that are less important to Argentinians than you would think. Right, and it's true that we probably should speak a little bit later about this, about fake and authenticity. But what I want to say is that Pierre Ménard, author of El Quijote, is for an Argentine essentially a comic text, let's say, right? And probably for European and American writers also a comic text, but in Argentina has a particular character of slapstick because Borges wrote some books with Bioy Casares, with a fellow writer called Bioy Casares, called Crónicas de Bustos Domecq, the Bustos Domecq, Bustos Domecq Chronicles, where they mock modern artists. It's modern art is presented as a slapstick comedy, right? There are comic versions of Le Corbusier and even Duchamp and so on and so forth. I think that part of the attractive of Duchamp for Rombert is the slapstick part of the Duchamp work, right? Another thing that I think that is important, and the fact take too much time. And I think that it's interesting that Osvaldo just mentioned and just put the stress in the fact of coming from a poor neighborhood is the particular situation of the Argentinian artist in terms of how he or she conceives himself or herself as a worker, right? And the type of value that puts in the work that is put in a work, right? We should discuss widely what I cannot do right now. The whole phenomena in Argentina of the Peronism, that is a sort of populist that constructed a sort of melodrama of the worker. That was really the atmosphere where you used to breathe in Argentina. A type of figure of the worker that is very different than the figure that you can see in other places. Like it's very particularly difficult to interpret the American avant-garde without the figure of the entrepreneur, right? Of an entrepreneurial attitude in terms of the art. This is quite difficult, I think, to interpret Argentine artists without taking into account the type of figure of the worker that was common in Argentinian culture at the time. I'm going to stop here because there are other people that have to work. But I hope that some of these things can come up later in the discussion.